Chris, what's this? You've got a diagram for?
Yes, well, it's a map, Matthew, and I'm really fortunate because somebody at the Norfolk Landscape Archaeology Department at Gresson Hall, by the name of Alice Catamole, has printed me out two historic maps of High Ash Farm. And the one in front of us, I've got on the car bonnet here, is 1760. And let's just turn it around. Well, it is facing the right way because that's north. And if we look behind us, there's a woodland there.
Yes.
And in 1760, it's we're at, I'll just get the right point, we are just here. And there's no wood at all there across there.
No.
And it's just absent. And so the strange thing is people get very excited about the countryside and tradition, but it has changed so much. If we had a map of the Bronze Age, this was probably all forest, and we've done land clearance and then it's been forgotten about and farmed and then grown up as woodland and old hedgerows. And it's happened time and time again over the millennia. So you can go back 3,000 years and a lot of this land was farmed and it's just had so many changes of use.
So this is 265 odd years ago. And,
yes.
And the field shapes, is it something you recognise?
Yes, a little bit. Many of these hedgerow boundaries that defined the actual fields themselves were long gone, really, and some were reinstated just for convenience. And often hedges, when you think they've been planted, they're actually the limit of land reclamation before you come to some feature. So if there was a stream, often you'd leave some of the scrubby sort of wilderness growth, if you like, beside the stream because it wasn't worth going any further. And then that grew up and formed one of our early hedges. Then things started to change. And the next map, which Alice very kindly has printed out for us, is in 1920. And there's a woodland over there behind us, Matthew, and that would be at this point here. And it's not there.
It's a field.
It's a field.
With a hedge. The
whole field.
But no woodland.
And amazingly, on this map,
the skylark. Right above us.
About 100 feet above us, Matthew.
He resents us, I think.
Yes, I know. We're in his territory. And all the trees on High Ash Farm, apart from the woodland, which is all little dots of trees, all the individual trees are marked out in these hedgerows. And many of those have gone because agricultural practices, right at the beginning of my farming career, it was sort of using boxes and matches to do all your baling. You remember the days of straw burning and a lot of agricultural chemicals we were using were pretty diabolical, to say the least. Things like DDT, dieldrin, some of the seed dressings, mercuric oxide on all the seed. And so things started to change because we were having such an effect on the environment that there was a big conference in 1969 at Silso, and environmentalists and farmers all agreed to meet there to see if there was some sort of marriage that could be made between caring for the environment and for home food production. And I was very much part, I wasn't part of the conference, but from 1971 the government joined in as well and had a government white paper, 1971, Food from Our Own Resources, and it started to acknowledge the importance of the environment as well. And although in my early farming career I'd been paid to take many hedges out, 20 miles went at High Ash Farm alone, leaving about another 20. And it was, you just hired a bulldozer at the end of the harvest season and drove down the hedges, then pushed them up into big sort of bonfires and set fire to it.
I can tell it's a painful memory.
It was. It's embarrassing to think what I did, because I was really keen to do it. And you got paid to do it as well. So you start to amalgamate fields. And farmers were being pushed the whole time with new varieties of cereals and sugar beet and potatoes. Many came from the Cambridge breeding units, and everything had the prefix of Maris, which meant it was bred in Cambridge. Maris Huntsman wheat, Maris Piper potatoes, all the varieties were better than the previous varieties, so you got encouraged to see. It was an exciting time at the same time. And that huge change happened. And as a result of that big conference in 1969 at Silso, an organisation was formed called FWAG. It's an abbreviation, obviously. It's called Farming and Wildlife Advisory Group. And it hadn't solely got the interest of farmers in mind, nor solely the interests of conservationists and environmentalists. But there was a conflict between the two bodies, and I think farmers began to realise that they'd gone a little bit too far, but still being pushed by all the modern agricultural machinery. In about episode 3 or 4 of this podcast series we're doing, we visited a local machinery distributor, and even I was amazed at the size of the tractors and the harvesters. They are colossal, and you can't use them in all these tiny little paddock fields. That little meadow over there was 6 paddocks over in the corner, and that's on the map here as well. Let's see if I can find it for you.
Just remind us when this map was
from. This one is 1920.
Right, 100 years ago.
Yes, it's 100 years almost exactly.
I can see Fox's Grove.
Yes,
on there,
Fox's Grove
is where we regularly go on this
podcast.
It's a
tiny little portion of woodland, and it goes right up to Castellane at the moment, and there it is. It's only 10 acres. It's currently 33 acres. The woodland over there behind us is missing. This woodland has only just been planted in 1920 as for pheasant cover, and then it was felled in the Second World War after about 50 odd years.
So it was put in for the guns.
It was put in for the guns and for timber, and it was clear felled and then left completely alone, so it's rejuvenated itself. Little pied wagtail, 2 of them in amongst the horses. Just beside us, just down here. Can you see them?
Oh, yes, yeah.
Flitting there. And just over it in the other corner of this new field, flock of starlings coming down to feed.
All going up as one and down as one.
Yes. And then in the field just over there, almost out of sight, a lovely flock of crows, rooks and jackdaws all feeding together on the soil invertebrates.
Look at all the starlings. There's more joining them.
Yes, there is. It's going to be quite a big sort of daytime murmuration. Absolutely lovely. So those big changes that I'm talking about happened, and then this marriage was formed with FWAG between farmers and environmentalists, and FWAG was giving free advice to farmers about restoring some of these huge fields into smaller fields and giving advice on conservation. And High Ash Farms very much been shaped by FWAG. In 2006, I went into a higher level stewardship scheme here at the farm, and they gave advice as to where to put the right hedges again. 2 skylarks right behind us, and 1 pair fighting with an odd one. There's 3, only 10 yards from us.
They've almost, yes. It's a territorial thing.
Absolutely.
That,
another man came into that pair's territory. And
they flew a bit like we'll see in a couple of months' time when the swallows arrive.
Yes, exactly that. They were dive-bombing each other. And anyway, so we started to put back the features that many of which had been taken out in the 1960s and 1970s. And the current government target with DEFRA is 45,000 new miles of hedgerow by 2050. And I've brought you here to a particular spot because we're going to be looking at hedgerows this morning. And this is the beginning of a new hedge. It's stretching away. It's
hundreds of little green tubes,
each with a cane in there, and so at the bottom of them,
there's more plastic than wood at the moment.
Well, yes, we call it a tubey a tubey hedge, and it shows out from quite a distance. But we have rabbits here, we have hares, there are horses nearby, but all these are protected. And in the past, I've put a plastic sheet all the way down and then planted the hedge whips, we call them, little hawthorn, blackthorn, some dogwood in there, field maple, a hazel. There's a whole mix of lovely British native species to sort of replace all the damage that I did all those years ago. And so that's the beginning. You couldn't have a younger hedge than this one. It's only been in a week, and we hope it will be here for 200 or 300 years. But as I said, it's outside my control beyond a few more years and remainder of my farming career. And the countryside has always been changing, and it's getting used to that. Right, behind us is the result of negotiating with FWAG. This was a 100-acre field and 40 hectares in new money, if you like, and we copied the hedgerow plants that are all around the farm in the old mature hedges that were left, and this is now getting nicely established. You can still see some of the tubes at the bottom.
So this isn't an ancient hedge, this is one that you've replanted, and how old would this be, this one?
This now is, it was planted in 2006, so what's that, about 18 odd years old.
It's still got signs of newness about it, hasn't it? And it's grown up tall.
Yes, and we are standing here along this hedge boundary here, and there were trees here, and I bulldozed this bank out, and I know you've screwed your face up, which says it all, sort of looking at me as I'm a heathen, and I didn't feel like that at the time, but there's so much habitat was lost, all the small mammals in the hedgerows, and of course, hedgerows, which we haven't really talked about much yet, are hugely important wildlife corridors. And that, when I met FWAG and they started to explain to me the importance of having wildlife corridors, I could just begin to see the error of my ways back then. But as a young man and being paid to do it, every encouragement was there to get the bulldozer in and to take these old features out, and then to have the larger agricultural machine. And that's a reward. You know, a farmer in a spanking new tractor or a large combine, that's quite something compared to just a few mice and voles running around and rabbits. We got helped get rid of the rabbits.
You've been on a road to Damascus since then.
I certainly have. Certainly for the last 30 odd years, I've done the Norfolk motto, which is called do different, and I've tried to say sorry to the environment by trying to behave. So here we have a 18-year-old hedge. It's now about 8 feet tall. There's blackthorn there, hazel just in front of us, just
see the catkins
with the catkins on, and it's throwing out all sorts of new growth from the bottom. And then the main one, the main constituent, is this prickly fellow, which is hawthorn. And bear in mind, this is arable land, so we don't actually need livestock fences, which was the original purpose of putting hedges in. The Saxons probably planted a lot of hedges because we have a Anglo-Saxon cemetery only about half a mile from us, and they certainly farmed this land a sort of way that I'm farming it today. In other way, they produce food from it. So you can still see the plastic tree guards at the bottom. They're meant to be biodegradable. And if I look down here, there is 33,000 hedging plants went in on this, which is plastic. There it is. It's covered up with leaf mould and all the hedge trimmings that have landed on top and leaves blown in. And some of the tree guards are still here with the original canes, although they've been in 18 years. Look at that. It's just amazing.